And our prayer is that as we come to God's word now, that the Lord will speak to us, the Lord of the word, as we give our attention to the word of the Lord in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Today, I just want you to begin by thinking about the number of advertisements you will have seen over this past week since our last Sunday service. On television, on billboards by the side of the road, on the internet, in newspapers, magazines, on social media, on radio. Advertisements are everywhere, and I'm not saying it's wrong to advertise, but adverts play on the need to believe, if only you have this, if only you'll have that, you'll be happy. Or never mind advertisements, just maybe go out your front door and look at your neighbor's house next door. It's bigger than yours. It's better than yours. Their garden's immaculate. They've just got a new kitchen in. And every time you feast your eyes on that house or on that farm of land, you want it. Or the man next door's wife, she's better looking than yours, trimmer than yours, a better cook than yours, more interesting than yours. And every time you see her, you covet her, you want her, you desire her. Or what about next door's kids? They're so much more adjusted than yours, more obedient, more studious, more polite. And every time you see those kids, you wish that your kids were like theirs, and you covet them. Or what about next door's car, or tractor, or motorbike? The horsepower, the trim, the low mileage, the fuel economy, and all your driving's a banger. You covet that car, that tractor, that motorbike. Every time you see it, you want it. And I hope as we come into this commandment today, this 10th and final of our commandments, I've been showing you that this commandment, we maybe hear the commandment series and think it's all out of date, it's all Old Testament, it's got nothing to do with us. What could be more relevant than the desires of your heart, than the desires of my heart? As God says to us today in his word, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And as we begin to grapple with this commandment today, it's worth saying at the outset that this is a commandment in many ways unlike all the others. The others can be kept outwardly. You can give an appearance of keeping every one of the other commandments. You don't blacken other people's characters. You don't steal. You don't actually commit adultery. You don't murder anyone. You're not cheeky to your parents. You observe the Sabbath day. You never blaspheme. You never bow down to a statue. Outwardly, you can keep those commandments and pat yourself on the head and say, what a good boy I am. What a good girl I am. I'm someone who's living in obedience to the law of God. But then we come to this 10th commandment, which is different to all the others, because this commandment now addresses your heart, what you desire, what you covet, what you want in your heart. It's asking about your longings, your inner desires. It's searching what you have set your heart on. What you're telling yourself at this very moment, perhaps, if I only had this, if I only had that, then I'd be happy. What are you telling yourself today? What am I telling myself today? If I only had that in my life, then I'd be sorted. Then I'd be happy. Then everything would be so much more straightforward. If only, if only, if only. And let me say, just to take a little bit of a step back for a moment, that it's not wrong in and of itself to want things. It's not wrong to want a new house or a new job or the best for our children. Many of us have such desires and others beside. But the trouble comes when you so set yourself on things that unless you get those things, you will not be happy. When you see someone else having them, it makes you mad, it makes you angry, and in the depths maybe even of your being, you rage. Why do you not have them when they have them? In his book on the Ten Commandments, Kevin DeYoung, an American minister, talks about the little girl on Christmas morning who gets a super awesome Barbie action playhouse. And she goes in next door and her best friend has got a super, super awesome Barbie action playhouse. So she comes back into her parents crying in a strunt and she says, she's got a super, super awesome action Barbie playhouse and I've only got a super awesome Barbie action playhouse. It's not fair. And the little girl goes off in a huff. I tell you this, it's just not children who act like that. It's just not children who react when they see what other people have. It's adults, isn't it? You shall not covet. Coveting is wanting what other people have. Unless I have what other people have, then I'm not going to be happy. So this is a commandment in Bible times, and in many ways in our day and age in which we are living. There were commandments in Bible times against murder. There were legal codes that protected marriage and telling the truth and private property. But in Bible times, as far as I understand it, there were no laws of any nation about the law, about the desires of a person's heart. It's very personal, this commandment. Because this commandment, you see, is searching your heart. It's searching my heart. And in many ways, it is unique. And it's unique because of the introduction that Exodus chapter 20 gives to the commandments, where God speaks all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Commandment number one, therefore you shall have no other gods before me. And at the end, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, staff, animals, transport, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In other words, you shall be content with me and with what I have given you, and let me be your contentment. And again, I want to make this point, and I hope this has come across in our series, that these commandments are just not a cold list of do's and don'ts. Because these commandments begin with God saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Here is our Creator speaking, here is our Redeemer speaking. And in each of these commandments, we have an expression of the will of God for how His people should live, to glorify God, to honor God, to give His name credit as the God who is our Maker and our Creator and our Redeemer. Therefore, when we covet, you know what we're saying? We're saying we're not happy with how God has made our lives. We're not happy with how God has arranged our lives. We're not happy with how God has ordered our lives. We want something more than what God has given to us. We're raging against God. We're fighting against God. We're resisting God. The Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs, when he wrote about this, he wrote a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And it is a rare jewel, contentment. Think of the anxious age in which we are living, where people are anxious and anxiety is so much on the rise, often because people are coveting looks, somebody's looks, or some celebrity star, they want to be like them. Never mind the neighbor's house or his spouse or his transport or his animals or his farm or whatever it might be. Let me give you two Bible characters where we see coveting. First of all, the rich young ruler we read about in Mark chapter 10 came to Jesus asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's a really good question to ask. As I said earlier, there's nothing more important than the destiny of your soul. And if you've never asked yourself that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Start asking it today and come along to our mission night by night for the fortnight and give yourself to answering that question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I'd love you to be here and our mission will go a long way to answering that question. But notice how having asked the question, Jesus says to the young man, well, you know the commandments, don't you? And he starts listing the commandments to the young man. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. He left off one from the second table of the law. The tenth. The young man was breaking the tenth, but he didn't know it. You can be breaking the commandments and not know it. And so Jesus looked at him, it says, and loved him. You know, and this young man just kind of affirmed his piety to Jesus and his respectability, and he expected Jesus just to put a big tick in his life. He had been putting a tick in all these areas in his own life, and he just expected Jesus to say, yep, and put his arms around him, hug him, and say, you're the boy, aren't you? No. That's what the world is telling us, by the way, that nowadays we're just to hug everybody and everyone's all right, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not. Because Jesus says to this man, one thing you lack. Oh, really? One thing I lack? What could that be? And Jesus says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. He had lots of treasure on earth, but he had no treasure in heaven. So Jesus says, go away, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. In other words, Jesus says to him, live by faith in me and in me alone. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. And the young man, we're told, his face fell. I'm sure it did. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. He didn't want to live by faith and by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It was things that made him happy, not Jesus Christ. What makes you happy? Is it Christ and Christ alone? Or is there something else you're coveting? You set your heart on, you desire, you want more than anything else. If it's not Christ... You see, if you've got Christ, you've got everything. If you haven't got Christ, you've got nothing. And Jesus is showing to this young man that his covetousness was idolatry, as it says in Colossians 3, verse 5. Because he wasn't prepared to give up what he had for the sake of Jesus Christ. His things mattered more than Christ. His reputation mattered more than Christ. Maybe today you are in a similar position. The other example of coveting is the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. As a young man, Paul was the most zealous Jew of the lot, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, living by the Ten Commandments. His life was as clean as a whistle, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But in Romans chapter 7, he says this, I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. He says, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He was still alive, so how could he have died? He means he died spiritually. He died to his self-righteousness. And he goes on in Romans 7, the very commandment which promised life proved to be death to me. In other words, Paul, all his life, had believed that living by the Ten Commandments would make him respectable and upright, and he could earn salvation. He would be congratulated by God as being good. Good boy. Good man. Well lived. But then came this tenth commandment, which opened his eyes to the fact that outward keeping of the law is one thing, but what about inner keeping of the law? What about in your heart? What about your heart? Because is it not the case, as John Calvin said, that the human heart is a factory churning out idols? And we're like that, aren't we? We set our heart on something. We've no sooner got it, we're on to the next thing. We've got it, and we're on to the next thing. We've got it, and we're on to the next thing. We've got it, and we're on to the next thing. Or even just a thought process that's in our heads. We just want something. We need something. We have to have something. We yearn for it. We covet it. We desire it. And we're just churning all the time out idols for ourselves. It's not the law's fault we're like that. The law just shows us what we're like. Do not covet. At heart, you know what? I'm a covetous person. And there's consequences, as I've been saying throughout these commandment series. There are consequences if we yearn for things that are not God. Back in 2015, I was in Kenya. And one morning, my bedroom door was banged rather excitedly by a local man who was the gardener in the compound. And he shouted, teacher, teacher, come quickly. I was teaching some Bible students. And he took me out across, there was a concrete path, and then there was a garden. And he rolled over a large stone, and underneath it was a scorpion. And he said this, "That sting you, you dead 2 days." And when you've three days till the plane comes, you don't want to get stung. "That sting you, you dead 2 days. You break God's law, you're dead. You're dead." The consequences of breaking God's law are death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages, the soul that sins, it shall die. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all them that forget God. And I don't believe there's a single one of us in church this morning, preacher included, who has not broken the 10th commandment. You shall not covet. Let me give you some tests about whether your covetous heart is real to you or not. First of all, are you preoccupied with making more and accumulating more, whatever the cost? I've said earlier, it's not wrong to be ambitious. It's not wrong to build your business. Some of the richest people in the Bible, like Job and Abraham, were very wealthy people. But you remember the parable of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12? He said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, 'So you have plenty of good things stored up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" It's not wrong to grow your business or wrong to make money, but it is wrong if it's all you think about. And God, well, you come to church once in a while, but really God's irrelevant to your life. That's a question to ask today. Are you preoccupied with things, or money's just the bottom line? Is that not a sign of a covetous heart? Or test number two, when you see others having what you want to have yourself, do you burn with jealousy? Are you happy that they've got those things? Do you want to strip it from them? Are you angry with them? Do you want to have better and improve yourself so that you're one up on the Joneses? Do you rubbish them in your anger, just lashing out, turning against them because those people have what you really want to have? Or test number three, do you find yourself frequently grumbling about your house, your spouse, your job, your things, your general life? Someone has said that in today's world, it's easy to think that with Amazon Prime next day delivery, that happiness is just a click away. Just a click away. And when the wee package comes through the door, the box comes through the door next day, oh, you're happy. Until you see the next thing online, and the next thing online, and the next thing online, and so it goes on. If only I had blank, then I'd be happy. What today do you have in that gap? If only I had blank, I'd be happy. Because the blank is our God. So as I sum up the series, this commandment is in many ways at the heart of all the others. Why do we bear false witness? Because we covet other people's reputations and we want to tear them down. We steal because we covet other people's possessions and we want them for ourselves. We commit adultery because we covet other people's spouses and we want them for ourselves. We murder because we covet other people's lives. We don't want them in our way. We disrespect our parents because we covet their power over us and we don't want them having power over us. We trash the Sabbath day because we covet our own happiness and not God's. We misuse God's name because we want our names to be all important. We make idols because we covet power to control our own gods. And we put other gods in place of God because we want to be in control, not God. And if we die like that, we are dead physically and spiritually. We face the judgment and the punishment of God, the full penalty of the law, breaking the law of God. We're lawbreakers. That's why we have a mission coming up to save people from breaking the law of God. But we can't save them, but Jesus Christ can. And this is the good news as we end, that into this world has come a Savior, Christ the Lord, who never broke the law, ever, never coveted once, never once transgressed the law, and yet he died a lawbreaker's death on the cross. Not because he was dying for his sins or crimes, but he was dying for your sins and my sins and our crimes. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, says Peter, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. You see, covetousness is a sickness from which we need healed. And by the wounds of Jesus, we are healed through faith in him. Godliness, says Paul, with contentment is great gain. And Jesus Christ is the godliness of God. Today, I encourage you as we come to an end, there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to free us, to set us free. Doesn't mean we will be sinless. It doesn't mean we'll never covet again. But it does mean that in Christ we are covered. He is your forgiveness, your freedom, your future. But you must trust him. Confessing your sin to him and resting upon him for salvation and satisfaction and contentment. As I close today, I wonder, do you have eternal contentment, eternal satisfaction? Are you content? Are you saying to me today, Richard, if I only have Jesus Christ, that's all I want. That's all I need. Because if not, it's a bad sign. Just give me Jesus, and then I'll be happy, says the man or woman who is in Jesus. But those who are not in Jesus are saying, give me anything but Jesus to make me happy. And you have to work out today, which camp are you in? You're in one or the other. It's either Jesus and nothing, or everything, but no Jesus is no, nothing at all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is like a sword, a two-edged sword, that it pierces, that it cuts right through to our hearts. Questions where we're, what we're thinking about today. What makes us happy today? What would say, if only I had this or only I had that, I'd be happy. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, for being discontent for how you have ordered our lives. And give us that godliness with contentment that is great gain. That, Lord, we would have treasure in heaven, and not just treasure on earth, that one day will be stripped away from us and will rot and rust. Help us, we pray, to have that eternal treasure, that eternal life that Jesus spoke to the young man about. That, Heavenly Father, we would indeed have the riches that money cannot buy, and the riches that last forever. Hear us, Lord, in his name. Amen.